You are listening to BensTorah.com.
What was the reason the Chazal saw fit to establish this specific period of time as an official Yom Tov in Klal Yisrael? What did they see when it came to the events of Hanukkah that therefore gave them the impetus to declare this is going to be a Yom Tov Derabbanan for generations to come? So the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos really deals with this specific question, in which it basically makes the following statement. It says, what is the nature of Hanukkah? Now, what were the miracles that really caused Chazal to feel that Hanukkah is such an important holiday that on a rabbinical level we should establish this as a Yom Tov, and not only Yom Tov temporarily, but a Yom Tov that we celebrate for generations to come? What was unique about the miracle of Hanukkah that we should be celebrating it? So the Gemara says, with the following brisa of Tanayim, it gives a first an historical record. Chafei beKislev, on the 25th of the month of Kislev, it's Yom Hanukkah is the beginning of the Yom Tov, as we started this past Sunday night going to Monday. Tamanya Inyon, it's a holiday of 8 days. And because it's a holiday, there's certain things we're not allowed to do, even on rabbinical holidays. Lola Misbet Baha, we can't make any eulogies during this time period. Lola's Anas Behem, we can't fast during this time period. And then it gives the historical record that brought this Yom Tov into existence. Now what happened? Kishenichnesu Yevanim Laheichal, the Seleucid Greeks of the Greek Empire were very, very powerful as a military force and also as a force that tried to spread the ideology and the hashkafa of the Greek Empire throughout the world, and that is the concept of Hellenism. Not only did they live a lifestyle of Hellenism, they worshipped the concept of Hellenism, it became for them a religion. And they wanted, when they conquered the land of Eretz Israel initially, to eradicate Judaism as a religion and replace it with the ideology and hashkafos of a Hellenistic society, of Hellenism. One of the ways they felt they would really force the Jews to have to change their religious and theological beliefs and their concepts of behavior was to go to the Makom Kadosh, go to the Beis HaMikdash. Unlike the Babylonians and the Romans who later on destroyed the Jewish temple, what the Yevanim did is they converted the temple into a pagan temple, and they did avodah, divine service, to the idols they worshipped. Kishenichnesu Yevanim laHeichal, when they came into the Heichal, they ended up by touching all the materials that are contained in the Heichal. They contaminated with ritual tumah all the shemanim, all the pure oils that had been manufactured with total kedusha and tara for the purpose of being used to light the menorah and other purposes of shemen used in the menachos and everything else. They contaminated all the oil, shebehechal. And ultimately, kishagarve malchis beis chashmonoi, when the guerrilla fighters of our priests of the temple, the chashmonoim, with incredible siyata d'shmaya, as I explained last week how they had the siyata d'shmaya, were able to overpower the Seleucid Greeks of that time, and ultimately speaking, v'notzchum, they militarily had a victory and got rid of them, and they literally over time were able to eradicate the entire influence of the Greek Empire over Eretz Israel. They then, quite obviously, wanted to rededicate the temple, cleanse out the temple, and make sure that the temple once again would be a temple used for Avodas Hashem, eradicate all the various vestiges of Avodah Zarah that existed there, get rid of all the utensils that had been used for Avodah Zarah, and literally put them in Geniza and no longer allow them to be used for Avodas Hashem. And they were searching very, very feverishly for one important factor. They were looking very high and low to find pure oil for the purposes of ultimately lighting the menorah and having the ability with the lighting of the menorah to once again bring the menorah and all the other objects of the Beis Hamikdash back into functionality. So it says that they bodku, they did tremendous research in trying to find out if there's any pure oil left, because if they have to make pure oil now, it's going to take them 8 days for them to purify themselves from Tumas HaMes, from the dead bodies that they came in contact with when they were fighting the Roman, the Greek army. They were contaminated with Tumas HaMes. It takes 8 days using Paraduma waters on the third and seventh day and going to Mikveh for them to cleanse themselves. And after that, they'd be able to manufacture brand new olive oil to replace the one that was missing. But luckily, with the help of Siyata Deshmaya, they were able to find Pach Echad Shel Shemen, one little bottle of oil, Shehaya Munach Bechosno Shel Kohen Gadol, they knew wasn't tampered with, because the seal of its kashrus that is established by the Kohen Gadol, Halach Lamasa, was still enveloping this specific item. And therefore, if that's the case, they therefore, quite obviously speaking, wanted to make sure they're able to get a hold of it and to preserve it before it becomes contaminated as well. And therefore, as a result of that, they basically found a purified Pach Shemen that was still available with the chos and with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. But the problem was this specific bottle of oil, only had enough oil, as they were measured to do, to be put into all the neiros of the menorah and to basically have the capacity with their fuel to last an entire day. Because each and every day they relit the menorah with new fuel and new wicks. So this Pach Shemen had been measured to accomplish a one-day lighting. And all of a sudden, Nasa Bones, a miracle took place. The Hidliku Mimeno Shmanas Yamim, that the oil didn't last 1 day the way it usually does, but miraculously it lasted for 8 days. Ulashana Cheres, and 1 year later on, Kavon Vasam Yamim Tovim, they established Chanukah as an actual Yom Tov Derabanan. We recite on this Yom Tov Derabanan a full-fledged Hallel. Hallel from the beginning to end, we call a Hallel Shalem, and we give Haidot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our Tfilas and our Benchin by the recitation of the actual Al Hanisi. This is the Gemara's Braisa. Now when you read, quite obviously, this specific piece, you realize over here something quite interesting and something quite fascinating, that in actuality, Chanukah really had two miracles take place before they established it as a holiday. There was a military victory. As I pointed out last week, it was a very, very big military victory because you had Rabbah Miadniyatim. You had a small group of individuals beating out a very large and very powerful army. So quite obviously speaking, this is a miracle in its own right, of Rabbah Miadniyatim, as I described in last week's shiur very, very in depth. And that for that alone, quite obviously, that's a miracle to make a Yom Tov for. But besides that, they had a secondary miracle, and that was the miracle of the oil lasting in the menorah for an entire 8 days and not having the need to have to relight the menorah with any new oil until they were pure after 8 days later on, had purified themselves, and were able to manufacture brand new olive oil that was totally Kadosh Vatar to light the menorah with from that point on. So the question everybody asks is, what was the need of having two miracles in order to establish the Yom Tov of Chanukah? In most of the various celebrations of Megillus, Tainus, of the other Yom Tovim that were there, Kamat, most of them, if not all of them, involve one major miraculous event which caused them to establish a holiday to commemorate it and to celebrate that specific miraculous event. When it comes to Purim, for instance, in Purim, we had the miracle of Klal Yisrael who were unfortunately threatened with genocide and annihilation from the, at that time, the Persian Empire and from the anti-Semites who were primarily ideologically Amalekim who wanted to destroy them from that empire, led by none other than the head Amaleki, Haman, who has shpah upon Achashverosh to allow him to do this. When Klal Yisrael were able to turn the tide, Napechu, and were able to be given permission by the king of the empire to fight a counter-offensive and to have their war against the Persian anti-Semites legally allowed by the Persian Empire, we miraculously were able to kill all the anti-Semites at that time who had a desire to want to kill us and annihilate us. And instead of the members of the Persian Empire annihilating the Jewish people, of Anoshim, Venoshim, Vitaf, men, women, and children, we ended up annihilating all the Amalekim that tried to kill us. We killed them instead. So ultimately, when Purim was established, there was really one miracle, the miracle of the military success of beating the Amalekim militarily in the Persian Empire, eradicating those specific individuals. Every time we killed an Amaleki, not only was it a war of self-defense, but it was also a keem of the mitzvah deraisa, a mitzvah say of timchazech Amalek, to eradicate the Amalekim from the face of the earth, which is one of the tayyag mitzvahs. But we only needed that miracle to give us the justification to establish the Yomtiv of Purim. One miracle was sufficient. And that miracle of Megillas, of the Megillas Tainus, the recorded Purim, was based upon that miracle. When it comes to Hanukkah, the Gemara here is presenting to us that in actuality, it wasn't just one miracle that caused Hanukkah to come into existence, but in actuality, there were two miracles. The military nitzacha, the fact that Rav Miyad Miyatim, Choloshim Biyad Giborim, as they say in Al Nisim, few soldiers who were weak were able to overcome a major military force that was very numerous in numbers of soldiers and extremely powerful. Rabbi Miyad Miyatim on an incredible level. That's a tremendous miracle. But it seems, according to the Gemara, that was not sufficient. It's only when subsequently we had the miracle of the menorah of the Shemen burning miraculously for 8 days rather than lasting for one day, that added with the military victory, gave Chazal of that time the inspiration to establish Hanukkah as a miraculous rabbinical Yom Tov as well. And when we are celebrating the Yom Tov, therefore, of Hanukkah to this very day, we do accentuate both miracles. If you look very carefully in the Al HaNisim, the miracle that's accentuated over there is the military victory in the Haidah. In fact, Chazal tell us, and the Malmud Prag says, that even the Hallel that we recite on the Yom Tov of Chanukah is a Hallel to Hashem for allowing us to be saved, to militarily defeat our enemy, and be able to survive and thrive as Klal Yisrael for generations to come. So the Hallel also was brought into existence by the physical, spiritual salvation of Klal Yisrael through the military victory being successful. So the Hallel and the Haidah seem to be emphasizing the military victory. So what is the purpose of the Pach Shemen? How did that add? What was the significance? And if you think about it for a couple of minutes, one of the phenomena that we do today, the way we celebrate the menorah miracle, is not by reciting this in the Al HaNisim. We don't talk about the miraculous phenomenon in the Al HaNisim. And we don't recite any other tefillah or prayer when it comes to our tefillahs by lighting the menorah in our households, by lighting that specific menorah and lighting it for 8 days in the way that Chazal gave us a minute to light the menorah for 8 days. whether you do it Eshu Beiso or Mahagrim, whichever methodology you use, the fact of the matter is we commemorate the miracle of the menorah by lighting the menorah publicly for everybody to be able to see, for to pierce the Hanes. So in actuality, we are celebrating both miracles. But I want to come back to my initial question. Why did we need the miracle of the Pach Shemen? The miracle of the military victory should have been sufficient. So that is the question I want to deal with today. And I'm going to share with you a very interesting presentation and analysis of this specific question that was given by one of the great Gedolim of the 1800s going into the 1900s, the famous Rav Chaim Soloveitchik of Brisk. He is the one who quite obviously was concerned about the need and necessity for the two miracles. What did the menorah add to the Yom Tov of Chanukah that made it the final phenomenon that caused Chazal to establish Chanukah as an actual Yom Tov? How did the menorah and the milchama interact with each other that together they composed the miraculous phenomenon upon which we established the Yom Tov of Chanukah? And what I'm going to therefore do in the next couple of minutes is share with you his perspective and his analysis, which is really ingenious, but it shows you quite obviously that these two miracles, even though they seem to be independent miracles, there's really an interdependency, Reb Chaim says, between the menorah miracle and the milchama miracle, which I'm going to explain to you in the next couple of minutes. So listen very carefully as I teach that to you today. And I hope you were able to share this concept with other people who might be interested during the Yom Tov of Chanukah to learn from it and at the same point in time understand the hashkafic relevance of this phenomenon to our contemporary time period as well. So listen to what Rav Chaim Soloveitchik says. He points out that let's analyze for a moment the miracle of the menorah. I want to know, says Reb Chaim, the mechanics, how the miracle of the actual menorah took place. They came into the Beis HaMikdash. They were searching and seeking for a pure bottle of oil that normally, when they put it away, was set away to be used for one day lighting of the menorah. They looked all over. It seemed that everything had been contaminated by the Greeks, but miraculously, they found one specific bottle of shemen, pure oil, and they knew it wasn't tampered with, it wasn't opened, because the chasima, the seal of the Kohen Gadol, was still closing it, so it means it was not tampered with, it wasn't touched, it wasn't used, therefore its purity and its kedusha was still in place for them to be able to light the menorah after they made a brand new menorah, to be able to light the menorah with pure Kodesh Dika oil, at least for one day of the lighting of the menorah, when they wanted the Mechanech the menorah under a new pure Kedusha, which they established once they recaptured the Makom HaMikdash. I just want to mention parenthetically, in their minds, once the oil of that specific day would have been used up, what are they going to do for the next 7 days? Because they realize, as I mentioned in my introduction, they're not going to be able to start making brand new oil until 8 days after they purify themselves from Tumas Hames. So what oil were they going to use in the interim for the next 7 days to light their brand new menorah with? So the Beis HaLevi, who happened to be the father of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, says, and his dealing with the Yom Tov of Chanukah, said that in actuality, truth be told, even if they wouldn't have even found one pure peat, the oil that has Chos Moshe Kohen Gadol, and they only had contaminated oil that was there, we have a principle when it comes to Kerbanos, or the divine service that Kodesh Baruch Hu that takes place in the Beis HaMikdash, that tumah, ritual contamination, is hutra in the chuyah betzibur. when there's a need to be makir karbanos in a tzibur in Klal Yisrael, in the Beis HaMikdash, if you have to do it in a state of contamination, because you can't do it in a state of purification, then we're given a divine principle, going back to Har Sinai, that tumah, ritual contamination in the Beis HaMikdash is allowed to be used. It's nidchas, pushed to the side, or even hutter, in order to facilitate that the Avedas HaKarbon is able to continue until they are matara themselves, or matara the Mikdash once again. So for the next 7 days, they could have used the principle of tumah, duchi, hutter, v'tzibor to, in fact, light even with contaminated oil until they're able to manufacture pure oil. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed for them a miracle, and therefore took away the necessity for them to have to rely upon that halacha, and allowed the pure oil that was really pure for day one to have the capacity to last for 8 days, so there was no necessity to have to rely upon the principle of Tumah Dechuyav Hutra Betzibor. So by the time they all were able to purify themselves in their physical body by day 8, they had time to manufacture brand new olive oil that was pure and kadosh, and therefore from day 9 on, they had enough of a supply of pure oil with which, quite obviously, to light the menorah from that point on. And this is the historical fact of what took place. But so says Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, how did the oil have the ability to last for 8 days? If you're telling me, says Rav Chaim, that this is how the miracle worked, and that is that the oil itself burnt down to the bottom as it normally does in 1 day, and next day they came back expecting the menorah to need oil now, which would have to be tamei oil, that miraculously the empty candelabra automatically had a miraculously new fill of oil there that wasn't there the day before, because the oil from the day before had been used up. So we had miraculous oil each and every one of the next 7 days, refilling the menorah miraculously through a miracle to give them pure oil until they're able to manufacture brand new oil, b'derech hateva, themselves. If that's how the miracle took place, and there are some mefarshim who in fact interpreted the miracle that way, says Rav Chaim, we have a major halachic problem. And that halachic problem is, we're not allowed to perform mitzvahs in this world using materials that were manufactured miraculously through miracles. We could only use products that are b'derech hateva, part of natural law, the natural world in which we live, that are able to be used and produced for the purposes of doing mitzvahs with them. Things that are grown and exist b'derech hateva are supposed to be used for mitzvahs and are chayiv in mitzvahs. That which is miraculously created by God by miracles is out of the realm of Torah of mitzvahs when it comes to its ability to be used for mitzvah performance. And Rav Chaim points out the famous story of the woman who quite obviously was very desperately poor, and she went to the Navi and said to the Navi she has no money to support her family, and he told her, bring jugs of oil and bring jugs into your house, as many jugs as you can, and start pouring the little oil that you have. And the oil filled up as many hundreds of flasks as she brought in, even though the oil was not sufficient itself to do that. But Hashem, through the Navi's help, allowed the oil to fill all the jugs till she had so much oil, she was able to sell it, make a lot of money, and that money she was able to support herself through that specific income. The Chazal tell us this specific Neshei Chayol, whose husband Nebuchadnezzar died, asked the Navi, how do I separate Shumas and Maestras from all the oil that I produced over here? To which he answered, since it's miracle oil, it's not subject to mitzvahs, and there's no halakhic responsibility to offer Shumas and Maestras from oil that was created miraculously. From here we learn Rav Chaim says, and this is quoted in the Tosefta, it's brought down by the Radak in his Perish to Tanakh, that therefore that which is a miracle material is not subject to Torah mitzvahs, and therefore oil that would be miraculously created cannot be used to light the menorah. So if that's the case, halacha lamasa, what was the nature of the miracle? It couldn't be that we have miracle oil being used the next 7 days, because miracles, as I just pointed out to you, cannot be used for mitzvah performance. So that wasn't the way the miracle took place.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
So Chaim says, I'm going to tell you what actually happened to resolve this quandary and give you a perspective how the miracle took place without coming to the problem that you can use miracle materials, materials that were made from total divine miracles for mitzvahs, how this oil was able to last for 8 days miraculously without violating that principle. So this is what Rav Chaim says. Rav Chaim says, and quite obviously he had some knowledge of science as well, that every material that's used for fuel in this world is given in natural law a specific burn rate, which basically gives that material, whatever you're burning, gasoline, oil, other types of liquids that burn, which gives, based upon the natural burn rate, the amount of time it takes to consume this specific liquid, this fuel, based upon the burn rate that this specific substance possesses. However, we know for a fact in modern day technology that burn rates on various types of liquids, especially fuels, don't have to necessarily stay at the rate that they are. That we as human beings, b'derech hateva, are able to enhance the burn rates of fuels that we use when it comes to using fuels in our society for running cars, for running machines, for running other things. We have the capacity to enhance burn rates and make the burn rates more efficient, so the fuel burns a longer period of time by the oil not being consumed by a higher burn rate and by literally being modified by giving a lower burn rate, which therefore makes, quite obviously, the oil not have to burn out so quickly. The burn rate becomes very efficient. It needs less oil to accomplish what it wants to accomplish, which therefore means the oil lasts longer by modifying the burn rate to allow the quantity of oil that could have burned for a couple of days to burn for many days, because the burn rate has been basically intensified to the point that it makes the oil burn more efficiently and last much longer. Says Rab Chaim, that's what the Rabbeinu Shalom did when it came to the menorah oil. The Rabbeinu Shalom saw their dilemma. Klal Yisrael wanted to dedicate the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Kedusha Tahara. When you mechanech something, when you dedicate something, you try as much as you can to dedicate it in a state of Kedusha Tahara rather than dedicate it in something which is contaminated. They therefore wanted the menorah, the brand new menorah that they were going to light, to be able to have the ability to at least be lit with pure oil as they inaugurated the brand new menorah. And the Rabbanu Shalom saw that they're going to be stuck, because after day one, b'derech hateva, the oil's burn rate would basically cause oil to be extinguished and no longer there. What the Rabbanu Shalom therefore did was, on a divine laboratory level, he changed the burn rate of this shemen zayis, this oil, made it much more efficient, made it more effective, gave it the capacity and the koach to burn with such quality and such finesse that oil that normally would have burnt with the old burn rate and been finished in its entire existence in one day, Hashem increased the burn rate on such a level with such fineness and such finesse, and all of this is b'derech hateva, based upon the rules of natural law that we can basically mimic today in our human laboratories. He was able to, therefore, because God can do anything, he was able, therefore, to make the oil a such finely tuned oil, an oil that burns with the most such an efficient burn rate that the oil was able to last not one day, it was able to last now 8 days based upon the enhanced and the improved burn rate on the specific oil, which is basically manipulating natural law. This is not supernatural, this is not a miracle, but something that human beings have the capacity to do. In the modern laboratories we have today when it comes to dealing with fuel efficiency, so that Ribbono Shel Olam, using natural avodah hateva, gave the olive oil incredible efficiency in its burn rate and its quality, and therefore the oil lasted. We call it a miracle, but it was Hashem who's doing this behind the scenes. But Derech HaTeva allowed the oil to be readjusted in its burn rate that it would last for an 8-day, the supply of oil being burnt with this specific burn rate. While under normal conditions, it shall last only one day. The burn rate was increased, was enhanced, fine-tuned, and it was able to allow the oil to last for an entire 8 days. Now, in the Hebrew language, the term that Rav Chaim uses to describe this specific phenomenon is, he said that the echus, the quality of the oil, of the burn rate of the oil, overpowered the kamus, the limited amount of oil that was available initially for the purposes of lighting the menorah. To say it again, what we call the miracle of the menorah lasting 8 days was that the echus, the quality of the burn rate of the oil, was enhanced to such a point that it then had the capacity, because of that enhancement, to have the capacity now to burn for 8 days. Same quantity of oil, because of enhanced burn rate, was able to burn for 8 days rather than 1 day. This was in the realm of teva, of natural law. The oil was natural oil. That's why it could be used for the mitzvah of lighting the menorah. It wasn't miracle oil. This was not a miracle shalei b'derech hateva, which would have invalidated the oil for any usage of lighting the menorah the rest of this time period. God did it in his divine laboratory then, and he basically, that's how the miracle of the Pach Shemen took place. We call it miracles, but it's not a miracle shalei b'derech hateva. It's a miracle b'derech hateva, using teva and changing a little bit the natural burn rate of oil, which even human beings could do. So it doesn't need a divine hand to accomplish this. Even a human scientist who's a fuel expert could have done the same thing if he had that challenge to do it. And we do it today in our laboratories around the world who deal with fuel economy. So if that's the case, the oil had the phenomenon of the quality of burn rate give more efficiency to the kamus, to the limited amount of the actual oil that was there, and allowed it to last for 8 days. This is a derech hateva. It's subject to Torah v'mitzvah, this oil, and the umakai the mitzvah menorah behidah for 8 days, until on day 8 they were able to manufacture brand new oil to continue lighting menorah in kedusha of tahara from that point on. This is what Rav Chaim says is the miracle of the menorah. So the question you have to ask yourself is, why did Hashem have to have this entire miracle take place? After all, I pointed out before that they were able to light at least day one through Kedusha v'Tahara, so they were able to mechanech the menorah that way. Why did he want that all 8 days there should be an incredible miracle taking place, that the menorah that was lit with this one little flash of oil should be able to last for 8 days? What was the Musa Shmuz he was teaching Klal Yisrael with his second miracle of the menorah? So says Reb Chaim, Zechat Tzadik Levracha, that the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted this second miracle for a very important purpose. And what's that purpose? For Klal Yisrael to realize that the miracle that they experience, and that was the miracle of defeating the Seleucid Greek army, was not because of the military brilliance of the Hasmonaean soldiers, who, like professional guerrilla warfare warriors today, are able to defeat major armies that come to conquer their country, and using guerrilla techniques are able to defeat mighty armies, stronger armies, bigger armies, with few guerrilla fighters, using tactics of guerrilla warfare. In fact, you should know that when people are being trained in the academies, officer training schools like West Point and other places in military strategy, in the Geisha world, when they talk about the Yom Tov of Chanukah and the strategy of the Chashmonaim, they want to portray it as brilliant military guerrilla warfare of a small group of these Chashmonaim who defeated the mighty Greek army using tactics of guerrilla warfare, knowing the topography of the land that's your homeland, and using that with your efficiency and knowledge against the invading forces that have no clue what the topography of your land is all about and what exists there and the places to hide and the places to basically attack from. So quite obviously, those who are the residents and are military warriors have an upper hand, and they usually have capacity to defeat conquering armies. We see this, lahavdil ben elef havdalos, of why, for that reason, the Taliban guerrilla fighters of Afghanistan didn't allow the Russian army to defeat it and got the Russians to finally quit. And we see recently they caused the American, which is also a superior army, to feel defeated and therefore incapable of getting rid of these guerrilla war fighters and therefore leave Afghanistan forever. So we therefore see that in even modern warfare, guerrilla warfare is very powerful for a few individuals who are knowledgeable of this warfare to defeat mighty armies. But the Rebbeinu Shlom saw that there were many people at the time who witnessed the miracle of the military defeat of the Seleucid Greeks that wanted to attribute to these specific Chashmonaim the capacity of being fighters who fought the war with incredible, miraculous powers, of the capacity of fighting how? With military strategy of guerrilla warfare. They wanted to attribute it to human capacities. They didn't want to give credit to God, for God could obviously causing this to happen, allowing this to happen. But it was the great strategies of these Chashmonaim warriors, these great Jewish warriors, who were able, using guerrilla warfare, to defeat the Greek army itself, and therefore did not want to look upon a military victory as a miracle that God basically accomplished by delivering Rabbah Miyad Miyadim and Chazakim Biyad Chalashim. Many Jews did not want to see this as a miracle. What the Rebbeinu Shlom therefore did was, according to Rab Chaim, cause a second miracle to take place in order to show through divine intervention over here for them to understand that the miracle of the menorah is not just an independent miracle, a separate miracle, but it was a miracle that was created not only for its own purposes, to have the menorah lit for pure oil in the Beis HaMikdash for 8 days, but to also elucidate and to clarify that the miracle of the military victory that they had before was in actuality a mirror image of the miracle of the menorah lighting for 8 days. So you'll say to me, what is the similarity between the military victory and the ness of the menorah being lit for 8 days with this oil in the Beis HaMikdash? How can the menorah be a makarah source and an instructive device to explain to the Jewish people that even a military victory was a miracle from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it wasn't just the Kol Chiv Yosi Yodi of the guerrilla fighters of the Chashmonaim? So says Rav Chaim, there was one concept that equates both of these miracles. If you remember before, I mentioned that the miracle of the menorah was the eichus, was quality overpowering the limitations of quantity. And therefore, by having eichus overpower kamus, kamus being the quantity, eichus being the quality, quality overcoming quantity, we were able to have the miracle of the menorah taking place. Says Rab Chaim that the miracle of the warfare was also a miracle where quality, where eichus overpowered the quantity of what was opposing it. It was eichus overpowering kamus. Now, how do we see that you have quality overpowering the quantity? Where did Chazal mention such a concept that was the yesod, that was the principle of the miracle Nitzach HaMelchama? So I want to share with you the answer to this question is found very beautifully portrayed. In the tefillah we recite on the Yom Tov of Chanukah. As I pointed out in the beginning of my shiur today, we recite it in the Shemona Esrei three times a day. We recite it in Abichas Hamazon. And this is the tefillah called the tefillah of Al Hanisim. The tefillah that's added onto the modem, where modem in general thanks Hashem continuously. All the miracles God performs for us. Every moment of time is a miracle in our existence and our ability to thrive and live in this world. Then we have a special Al Hanisim added to tell us about two miracles that took place in Jewish history on a rabbinical level. The Yom Tov of Chanukah, the Yom Tov of Purim, where the Pyat puts in what exactly was the nature of the miracles that were celebrating on the Nisim and the Purkin, the Gevuros, Shuos of the Muhammad that we, our fathers did in time of yesteryear, and how they succeeded. How does the Pyat define the miracle of the Chanukah? Listen very carefully. It says at the time period of Matasyo ben Yochan Kohen Gadol, Chashmonai and Banav, who were the soldiers, who were the ones who were fighting the battle for the Jewish people, the priests. They were not trained soldiers, and they surely weren't trained specialists in guerrilla warfare. When Malchus Yavin Harasha wanted to be Mashuch Teresecha and make Klais will violate the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us Siyata Deshmaya. And Hashem behind the scenes was Amadotob at the time of Atzar. He stood for us. He helped us, raft us, reef, and fight the fight. Danta Dinam, judge those who had to be judged with a persecution and punishment for what they did. Nakant Nekamasan was able to wreak vengeance against all the terrible things against Jews. How many Jews were killed by the Seleucid Greeks and were assassinated because of their unwillingness to convert to Hellenism. And what did Hashem do? Masat Gibarim Biyat Chaloshim, V'yad Me'ad Me'atim. He did a miracle that Gibarim, the most powerful army in the face of this earth, was defeated by a weak Kohenai group of guerrilla fighters. B'derech Ateva, that's impossible. That's Rabban Biyad Me'atim. In this case, we have a Gibarim Biyat Chaloshim, Rabban Biyad Me'atim. The Greek armies were more powerful. They were more numerous in the amount of soldiers they had. And we have these specific rabbim and chazakim and gibarim being defeated by chaloshim and mu'atim. That's a tremendous miracle. But the Paya tells you, you know how we accomplish this? In the following fashion. When you come to contrast the two fighting sides, the Greeks against the Jews, Greeks with the Temeim, and they were basically slaughtered by the Tahorim. The Greeks were the Rashayim, and they were slaughtered and defeated by the Tzadikim. The Greeks were the Zaydim, those who really rebel against God, the God of Israel and its Torah, and they were defeated by the Oske Sarasecha. If you look very carefully in these three descriptions of the actual Greek army being Temeim, Rashayim, and Zaydim, and the Jewish army being portrayed as Tahorim, Tzadikim v'Oiske Sarasecha, do you know what you have in front of you? You have the magic formula that I mentioned before of Echos, of quality overpowering Kamos, quantity. The quantity over here that we had to defeat were soldiers that were more numerous than us, Rabbim. They were chazakim, stronger than us. We were not. We were the opposite. But how did we do it? So the question is, the quality of the soldier over here, of the Jewish side, their echos, their spiritual and ethical moral echos, was superior. Because on our side, what were we? We were the Tahorim, the Tzadikim, and Oske Sarasecha. Look at that quality of personality and zechuyas we had. And who did we defeat? We defeated people who were not quality at all. They were Temeim, Rishoyim, and Zaydim. So says Reb Chaim, the miracle of the Nitzach HaMelchama was the ability for quality to overpower quantity, for Eichus to overcome Kamus. And where did we learn that principle from? From the miracle of the burning of the menorah, where the menorah also was the miracle in which you had the Eichus of the oil, the quality of the burn rate of the oil, overpower the kamus of the oil to allow it to last for 8 days. The miracles were totally identical of Eichus overpowering the kamus. So the miracle of the menorah wasn't just a miracle in its own right, but it gave us understanding of how to understand the military victory, that that was also a representation of a miracle of Eichus, quality overpowering quantity itself. They were not Koveya Chanukah immediately. They wanted to Kleisel for a year to ponder upon this phenomenon, to understand and be taught the similarities between the Milchama of the Jews against the Greeks and the miracle of lighting the menorah, to understand hashkafically how they were interdependent, and that the miracle of menorah gave us an understanding, gave us a pshat, gave us a havana of how the military victory took place. If that's the case, Chazal say, that's why, even though the Yom Tov of Chanukah would have been sufficient to establish, based upon the military victory, to say Hallel v'Hidor, as I mentioned before, we needed the menorah to teach us that this was not Koichev Yotzim Yodi, it wasn't just a human, brilliant strategy of guerrilla warfare that the Goyim do without any miraculous divine intervention, but our ability to do what we did was a nes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see that from the menorah. The menorah teaches us how to interpret the military victory. So in actuality, the menorah is that activity that took place that not only showed God's miraculous hand allowing us to have oil last miraculously, b'derech ha-teva, for 8 days, but allow us to understand the military victory that me'eis Hashem ho'isozos hiniflos be'inenu. The military victory was a miracle from God of Rabba miyad miyatim, of Chazakim biyad chaloshim. All of this was a miracle from the Ribbono Shalom, and the menorah was the means with which Hashem taught us how to interpret the Nitzach HaMelchama to look upon both of them being miracles from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Chaim says that's the reason that by Chanukah we therefore needed both of these miracles to take place, because the menorah shed light to how to interpret the military victory. When it came to Purim, we didn't need a secondary miracle. When we saw the Napachu, where the declaration by the king to give the Persian anti-Semitic ability to commit genocide against the Jews was turned around. And on the contrary, we as the Jews are then given the right, the royal mandate, and the power to kill the Amalekim of that empire who wanted to kill us, Habal HaGecha Hashkin VeHargo. We saw the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing all the various hidden miracles that led up to this Napachu in the Megillas Esther. Hashem had orchestrated all the various small miracles, slowly but surely, that ultimately culminated in Esther being in the position that she was, together with Mordechai, to convince Achashverosh to do what he did. And Napachu, the day that was supposed to be a calamity for the Jews, became a day of calamity for the Amalekim. The Jews were in Atzeach, and the Jews would say physically and spiritually, and Yom Tov of Purim had the Nitzach HaMelchama take place as a miraculous manifestation of the Yad Hashem. That was more obvious when you look at all the events as they were brought together and described in the Megillah. However, when it came to Chanukah, we don't have an official Megillas Chanukah. And if that's the case, the way we know that the warfare was miraculous and orchestrated by God behind the scenes with Siyata Deshmaya was having Hashem have the miracle of the menorah take place. The menorah taught us how to interpret the actual Chanukah military victory. It's really two parts of one big miracle from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that quality overpowers quantity in this world. Spiritual power and spiritual quality surely overpower any type of quantity of contamination, of tumah that exists in this world, no matter how large, numerous, or powerful it might be. Tara and Kedusha can overpower any Keiach HaTuma. That's the Musa Shmuz we get from the Yom Tiv of Chanukah. That's what we're supposed to take away from this Yom Tiv, Tamidim and Tamidos. Please remember this. Please understand this. You now understand why there were two miracles. I hope that you enjoyed the shiur today. Please share this with other individuals. They should see the brilliance of this specific Yom Tiv and Takanas Chazal. Wish everybody a Chanukah Sameach, a good Yom Tiv, a Gabench Dior. We should be zoich for other miracles and Yeshua from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Klal Yisrael in this world. We might be the Ma'at Mikol HaAmim, but the Eichus of Klal Yisrael will overpower the world ultimately when it comes to all the Yemais HaMashiach, with the ability to overcome our adversaries with the Siat Shmai of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and purify it, and have once again the Hadlakas Neris taking place the way it should be, with Avedis Hashem and Avedis Karbanos, and the Tefillahs taking place in the Makam Kadosh of the Makam Mikdash. Sheyav HaMashiach Zekein Remein Amein V'Amein.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.